Good morning. This is Jeff Norris, and I'm coming to you from Buchanan Alliance Church. We have audio only this morning, but if you go on our website, you can follow along because the PowerPoint to this message is there. I just want to welcome you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. As we begin, let's welcome the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and acknowledge His presence here this morning. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the promise. Jesus, thank you for your promise that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are. We claim that promise. And we also claim the promise that if you being evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven will give to the Holy Spirit when you ask. And Jesus, you said that you and the Father are one, and even though we can't fully understand it, we welcome you, Abba, Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, as we gather together, as we look at your word. May your word reap a harvest of righteousness in each of our lives for your glory. Dear Father in heaven, we ask these things, and we ask them in your name. And in your authority, Lord Jesus. And so we pray with anticipation, looking forward to what you are going to do in these moments ahead. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. This Sunday for our church is the first Sunday of Advent. And so the theme is hope. In our regular service, we will actually be lighting the Advent candle of hope. Here at Buchanan Alliance Church, our heart's desire is to live and love just like Jesus did, so that literally Jesus is living in us and he is flowing through us. And as others see that, we simply tell them about Jesus and invite them to experience Jesus as well. In these current events, there's just so many things happening. Every single day, it seems like something new. We want to live and love like Jesus in the midst of these current events that are surrounding us right now. And how do we do that? The primary thing is let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's focus on Jesus. Because the reality is God is still on the throne. He is in control. Nothing can happen that is apart from His will. He is watching over us. And so let us love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then let us also love others as ourselves. But the catch is, we really don't believe that's possible apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit through submitting and allowing Jesus to flow in us, to abide in us and flow through us. That is really what we believe. But as let's continue on and let's move on to the message this morning. Again, this is the first Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of hope. And Advent simply means the coming. We're looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his return. And if you have your Bibles, I would welcome you to turn with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And if you pulled up the PowerPoint, the verses are also on the PowerPoint. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And now if we back up to the beginning part of this, in his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope. Let's just break that down a little bit. First, mercy. In his great mercy, what is mercy? Mercy is basically not getting the punishment that we deserve. You know, there's key words. Mercy is one of the key words. Mercy, love, and grace. Mercy is not getting the punishment we deserve. God's love toward us is his acting toward us with eternity in view, in our best interest, even if it costs him personally. It's what happened on the cross. God is acting, Jesus is acting, the Holy Spirit is acting in our best interest with eternity in view, even if it costs him personally. And then grace. Grace is getting the blessings that we have not earned. Grace is getting the blessings of Jesus Christ given to us. Mercy, love, and grace. Well, what this passage is telling us, in God's great mercy, he has given us new birth. And what is that new birth? If we think about John chapter 3 and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious leader and he came to Jesus. Jesus, how can a person have eternal life? And Jesus said, you must be born again. And then Nicodemus said, how do I be born again? Do I enter my mother's womb a second time? No, you're born again. It's a new birth. It literally, born again means born from above. We receive the Holy Spirit when we repent and put our trust in Jesus Christ alone, and we literally have a new birth, born from above. So every believer has two birthdays, their regular birthday, the day they were born, literally, and then spiritually, the day they were born from above in Christ. I hope that you remember both of your birthdays. And then it says that in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. And what do we mean by living hope? Well, hope, according to one of the Greek English lexicons of the New Testament, the third edition, Bauer's third edition, hope is looking forward to something with some reason for confidence, expecting fulfillment, hope, an expectation, a future certainty. And we have a living hope, which means it's active, it's alive, it's dynamic, it's vibrant. And why is it that way? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, that definition out of that commentary, out of that, actually, it's a Greek lexicon, a grammar that is like a dictionary for the Greek language. It says that the hope needs to be built on something. There needs to be something for the confidence. What the confidence is built on? Our confidence. The reason we have a living hope, a future certainty, is because it's based upon the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Paul says that Jesus is the first fruits among many. Jesus' resurrection is proof that we too will be resurrected. Those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we too one day will be resurrected from the dead. You know, in the Old Testament, it looked forward to this. You know, in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, death is a transition for the believer. We know that the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. We have this blessed hope. We have a living hope, a hope that is sure. It is a future certainty. If Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and there is so much evidence to support that, I believe, I know in my heart of hearts that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And that is the foundation of my assurance, my blessed hope. My living hope is based upon the fact that Jesus was resurrected. He came, died on the cross, paid my sin debt, and was resurrected the third day. And because he is resurrected, we too shall be resurrected. As 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us, and it's all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, we see that as a fact. And then finally, Paul just talks about it slightly differently in Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. Here's what Paul says, and this is kind of in relation because these days are with COVID and the election and all that stuff going on. Here's what Paul says. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. Why can we have this hope? This hope is based upon God's mercy. In his mercy, he has given us new birth, born from above, and we have this living hope that's based upon the resurrection of Jesus. And Peter even told his people in this passage that I read a little bit ago, in verses beginning in chapter 1, verse 3 through 9, we read that the early church was going through persecutions. And Peter said, don't think it as though something strange is happening to you. God's got this. And Paul says it in a different way. We are more than conquerors. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing, 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 nothing. And I'm concerned that I think that we have not really faced persecution in the United States, but it may be coming. We have left, I tell my people regularly, we've lost home field advantage. And anyone that plays sports know that when you get to play in your own field, there's a slight advantage. You feel at home, you feel comfortable. It's an advantage. Well, we've lost that. We no longer live in a culture that is friendly toward Christianity. If anything, it is against Christianity for many different reasons. But we've lost home court advantage. But be of good courage, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. And so this week, this as we think about Jesus' return and the upcoming celebration of Jesus' birth, let's remember the living hope that we have, and no one can take it away because it's based upon Jesus's finished work on the cross. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please meet each one of us. Despite all the craziness that's going on in the world today, I ask that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord Jesus. And may our living hope grow stronger and stronger and stronger with each passing day. May we realize that nothing, nothing can separate us from the love that the Father has for us because of your finished work on the cross. Nothing. And we are more than conquerors. I ask that you would bless those who are listening to this. Bless them. Bless them with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And I ask these things directly to you, Father in heaven, and I ask them in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. And so I look forward with anticipation to how you're going to bless your sons and daughters. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. And if you've heard me before, you know that we have table talk, and it's just discussion points. And so if you have the PowerPoint, the discussion points are there on the PowerPoint. Please consider, in what way does Jesus' resurrection give believers a strong foundation for hope? How does Jesus' resurrection give us a strong foundation for our hope? How are Peter's words of encouragement concerning trials relevant to us today? In your own words, how would you define mercy? Mercy is such a wonderful word. It's a powerful word to understand. How might you describe your living hope to a friend who does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? How does knowing how the story ends? See, we know how the story ends. We know that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We know that Jesus is going to return. We know that Jesus is going to set up his millennial kingdom. We know that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. How does knowing how the story ends impact a believer's living hope? And then just overall, share what the Holy Spirit impressed upon you personally during our time together. And now if you would, wherever you are, if you would just, I want to pronounce a benediction because I believe there's power in it. And this comes straight out of the scripture. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face toward you and be gracious unto you. The Lord cast his eyes upon you and grant you his peace, his shalom. And then the scripture says that his name will be written upon you. And so this week, may others see Christ in you, the hope of glory, and be drawn to Jesus. I say all of these things in the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessings upon you. Thank you for joining us. Have a blessed, blessed week.